I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome back. My name is Kit. Doesn't matter.
I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things. Streaming Fallout. We're a TV and film podcast. We talk about a variety of different movies and shows. This series, we're talking about Fallout, the newest show on Prime Video based on the popular video game. And we're in there, boys. We just talked about the premiere the other day. Hope you enjoyed that. We're going to be talking about the finale in 2 days' time. But this episode, we're just going to recap the middle, the meat of the sandwich, episodes 2 through 7. You know, we weren't sure. How do you phrase this? How many people would give a fuck?
I love how delicately you put that.
Yeah. About a show that is going to be binged, you know, in a couple of days. We didn't even know if it was going to be any good when we committed to this. So this is what we decided to do. Good news. The show, pretty darn good. So glad that we're talking about this. This is the kind of the best of the both worlds solution that we came up with. So episodes 2 through 7 is on the table today. So if you have not finished at least through episode 7, probably don't listen to this. I can't guarantee there won't be some kind of spoilers throughout. So make sure of that.
You have been warned. Like a poster on the wall of your vault. There be spoilers present.
That's true. That's true. You can join the Patreon at patreon.com/streamingthings to support the show financially. We would very much appreciate that. And it's not just for us. You get plenty of rewards, bonus content, extra episodes, the ability to vote on polls. April's poll is 4 different dark comedies that Steve and I came up with. Movies like 7 Psychopaths. Good. Movies like Death of Stalin.
Love that movie.
Doctor Strangelove, or How to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb. Mm-hmm. And the other movie that I picked that I can't remember that I actually think is winning out of all.
Bodies.
That's right.
Bodies Cubed.
And Bodies Cubed is winning by a healthy margin. You can vote on that and listen to that episode if you're a member of our Patreon. But if you can't support the show financially, we totally understand. We wouldn't want you to put yourself into any kind of financial trouble by supporting the show. You can support us for free by sharing the episodes on social media. Listening to each one, of course, is very helpful. And rating and reviewing the show wherever you're listening to this, that helps us out a lot. We do read those reviews. We got some good ones here recently. Thank you, folks, that are doing that.
Yeah, thank you. And if you do want to support the show even more financially, we have more merch at the merch store. Check out the link in the show notes.
We're rocking it.
I got the I Love Love shirt.
I love. I got the silly one. I don't know what.
Little cartoons.
The cartoon one.
Yeah, it's a silly boy. It's Jimmy is not wearing our merch. But it's a cool shirt. Last of a
it
shirt.
It's a cool shirt.
Throwback to last time Jimmy was here. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's what that is. I'm also wearing the hat. One of the hats that you can purchase. So bing, bang, boom.
The hat is called the Kit.
For obvious reasons.
Yep.
I wear a hat like this quite often. Quite often.
Now you wear that hat.
Guys, what's it been like, because we've been separated, watching the show, delving in greedily and deep to episodes 2 through 7. Jimmy, how are you feeling about, as a longtime fan of the games, how are you feeling about the show so far before the finale?
I love the meat, as you put it. I was really...
give me the meat. Give it to me raw.
when I watched the first episode, I fell in love with it, obviously, with all the references to the game and all that. And then I was thinking about it after I had watched it, before I started watching the other ones. And I was like, I wonder if people that weren't fans of the game are going to understand what's going on. And I was worried that they were going to leave out a lot of the meat, so to speak, that would kind of explain what's going on in the world, what the Pip-Boys are, and just how people live in the wasteland and stuff like that. But after watching 2 through 7, I think they stuck the landing. I think it really opened up even the lore for me. I mean, I play the games religiously, but I never read all the little things that you could find.
There's so much. Yeah. It's a Bethesda game. So there's so much literature to read within the game.
I'm a real quick, just press the button and get on with the action.
Do you skip the dialogue?
Sometimes.
Oh, you monster. Yeah,
it really, I guess it just depends on if I'm interested in the current quest, right? If it's like a side quest.
Or bullshit. Yeah.
I'm not a skip a cutscene kind of guy, though. Those people should burn.
Agreed.
Yeah. But it opened up the world of Fallout to me. And I'm excited to get back into the game, which I have been playing. But I really liked it. I there was little that I didn't like about 2 through 7.
Awesome.
Steve?
Well, I do think I might be a little bit of an outlier when it comes to reviewing this show. I don't know. I don't know Chris's thoughts, but I have a good idea of where Kit lies in this discussion. But so at the end of episode one, I think I was a little like, I like this, but I wasn't in love with it. It seemed the two of you were. And then episode two started. And the way episode two starts left me going, oh no, I'm not into where this structure of how the show is. Let me back up and say, in terms of Fallout and its, dedication to being a true representation of what the games are, I think the show succeeds with flying colors. But I just think how the show is made structurally and how it's being edited together really leaves a lot of room for improvement to me. Like, I think the bones are there. It's just they're not, there's something about it that's not going. So, for instance, the thing that had me going, oh no, in episode two was episode two opens up with a dialogue-less scene of Dr. Vilsig going about his life set to a 50s doo-wop song, and life gets a little harrowing and hectic and wild and crazy. Boom, Fallout. And I'm like, oh, this is cool. And then the episode opens up with Lucy, who's going about her day, set to a 50s doo-wop song, as it gets a little bit more harrowing. And I'm just like, we just fucking watched this. Why are we doing it again? This is a show where almost every episode is plus 60 minutes. And I think you feel every minute. I don't feel like this show flows at all. It's only 8 episodes. I feel like it was 15. And I really don't like the Maximus storyline. I think that's the weakest part of the show by far. And I think we agreed on that in the first episode. I think he comes around to it and they do things that I think makes it more interesting. But the first 3 episodes, I was like, can we fucking not? I'm so tired of this dude. But overall, at the end of episode 7, I was like, okay, I want to see how this is ending. I'm intrigued as to what the main mystery of the show is, but there is something about how they're portraying the world the way they're bringing stuff from the game to the big screen that isn't translating quite as well as I would like it to. It just feels a little hollow to me. And, but yeah, that's my overall general thoughts on the matter.
I mostly agree with that. I think the show for me has always been really fun. It's the kind of show that I kind of understand, as much as I hated it for the pod, why they dropped it on a binge model. Because the general critical consensus has been that this show is just phenomenal. Just absolutely knocked out of the park video game adaptation. A lot of people are saying better than Last of Us, even the best video game adaptation we've ever gotten. And I've been a little perplexed. While I really like the show, I am not over the moon about it in that way. I think that I should be. I love ultra violence with a silly flavor.
Well, there's a lot of silly flavors here.
Something like the boys.
Iguana on a stick.
But I think, I think they do manage that tone really well. As somebody who didn't play the games, the silliness kind of takes me by surprise sometimes. Mm-hmm. I like the Vault Dweller perspective that Lucy has and the whole absolute carnage, okie dokie, you know, response is fun for me. But some of the other things really took me by surprise. Mm-hmm. In episode two, the doctor gets his leg shot off by Cooper, the ghoul. And then the prosthetic that the lady puts on is just like this meat grinder with a foot. And I was like, the fuck? And there's a lot of like healing things, like when he heals the dog with the stem pack. Those are direct allusions to what it's like being in a video game world to heal a wound that took me a while to get used to. I don't know about pacing issues that bothered me at all, because I did feel really comfortable and engaged to binge this. I wanted to watch the next episode every time one ended. And I don't always feel that way with shows that even that I like, you know? But yes, the Maximus storyline, that actor in particular, he's like, he's doing a good job. There's nothing overtly bad about what he's doing, but I don't like the character. And I don't think you're supposed to. I think there might even be a villain turn in Maximus's future. I'm not sure.
I hope so. that would make it more interesting.
But yeah, that's definitely the weakest part for me. However, by at the end of episode four, there is a stark turn in the show that's really, really cool. Like once you put Cooper and the dog together, you get Lucy starting to realize the direness of her situation. We start to get really intriguing Jonathan Nolan style mysteries about what's going on with the vaults and who is in fact, you know, Moldaver. And I really was my interest was peaked and I was ready to just tear through the rest. And I think it ends, I think it sticks the landing really, really well.
Episode four is the best episode so far.
You think so?
I think so. Yeah.
That's for me where it was like, where my binging hit like a, oh fuck, I'm in for sure. But yeah, those are my overall thoughts. It's like, you know, I don't think it's a complete home run, but I think it's a great show. It's super fun. I'll definitely watch a season two. And I asked, we'll diverge here. I asked in the last episode, cause you said it took place in 2077 and I pushed back a little bit. I was like, this doesn't make any fucking sense. It's very 1950s. And you were like, well, that's kind of the aesthetic of the show, but it is the future.
As I was watching the show, I kept thinking like, was that wrong? Like I could have swore that's how the games were, but in the show, it's very much like, oh, the Red Scare and Hollywood communism and all that stuff.
Yeah. So what it is that's a very intentional choice. It's called retrofuturism. They wanted the vibe of our own real world obsession with nuclear fallout shelters and stuff, but also they needed futuristic technology and they kind of retconned this reasoning into it. But there's a whole real world backstory to this. The Fallout world exists, and this is from the Fallout Wiki. So for those that don't know, just like I didn't know, the Fallopedia? Fallout world exists in an alternate timeline that diverged from our real world timeline after World War II. So everything in our universe happened in this universe until 1945. And then there was another great war in 2077. That's the one that causes like the fallout. So it leaves this universe in a stylized representation of 1950s American culture with more advanced technology, right? The science fiction anthology Worlds of Tomorrow greatly influenced the aesthetic of this universe. So the defining moment of the Fallout universe was the Great War of 2077. On October 23rd, 2077, the United States, China, and other nuclear-armed countries commenced a brief but rapid exchange of nuclear weapons. Although the conflict lasted only 2 hours, the destruction it wrought was staggering and complete. More energy was released in the early moments of the war than in all previous global conflicts combined. The world that remained was harsh and unforgiving, even centuries after the... So you guys know this, like centuries later, the world that we see is populated with rogue machines and psychotic mutants and vicious raiders and all kinds of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Most of the events of the series take place in the United States. The first two games, Fallout and Fallout 2, which I did not know were in the late 90s.
Yeah, 97, I think, was the first one.
Like, what did these games look like?
They were top-down dungeon crawlers, like... Like old like a Diablos. Diablo,
Like a Diablo?
Yeah.
Okay.
Fallout 3 was the first...
Were they on PC?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Have either of you played them?
Played a little bit of Fallout 2. I never messed with one.
And the first Fallout game took place in Southern California. And you guys said like all the other ones were all over the country. So it's almost like a return to the origins. This show is more than like a unique diversion. But they're, and then the whole new California Republic thing is like a huge part of the games, as I understand.
Yeah, right? Yes. Mm-hmm. That would explain a lot of some of the stuff we'll get into later.
And the third game, Fallout Tactics, took place in the Midwest.
Fallout Tactics, like Final Fantasy Tactics?
Yeah, between Chicago and Colorado. And there was a fourth game, Fallout Brotherhood of Steel, that was in Northern Texas.
I never even heard of that one.
Fallout 3 was actually the fifth game, set on the East Coast.
I've only played 3 and 4, personally. And
then the sixth game was Fallout New Vegas. That was 2010. That was in the Mojave Wasteland. And then Fallout 4 was the seventh game. That's the one Steve loves, right?
I love 3.
Oh, you're a 3 man?
I love love.
And that one went back to the East Coast. I think it was like Boston or something, right? And then the eighth game, Fallout 76, that's like an MMO, right?
Yeah, so that's online. So I think in terms of timeline.
Oh, that's in our hood, Appalachian Territories. Yeah.
So I think in terms of timeline, 76 is actually like one of the first games in regards to like after the Great War. So I think the game, why they came, released that way, I think the timeline goes backwards. So like 76 is just several years after the first vaults open up.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
It's like a prequel thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So for most of human history, the Fallout universe and the real world shared a common timeline, like I said. But the most visible difference between the timelines is that the engineers focused on advancements in fusion robotics and the miniaturization of nuclear reactors, while the miniaturization of electronics was largely neglected. So they don't have
that's why they got a giant wristwatch.
Yeah, and they don't have like the cell phones and the TVs that we have, but they do have like cold fusion and robot suits and stuff. So in 1969, the United States adopted a system of 13 commonwealths. If you notice in the show, the American flag has 13 stars. That's why there's not the 50 states anymore. They have 13 commonwealths. In 1970, China failed to adopt any free market reforms and remained similar to what it was under Mao Zedong. And in 1991, the USSR did not collapse. These are the differences in the in the universe of the show and the games.
No, Gorbachev, keep up that wall.
That's right. No major international conflicts would take place until the middle of the 21st century. In 2052, the oil-rich Middle East nations raised oil prices, causing economic collapse of many. Anyway, if you wanted to know why the war was
you
going on.
You just loosied us. You brought us into a school and you taught us history. Yeah. You loosied us.
I just thought it was fascinating as somebody who didn't play the games. And I asked that question about why is it like this? There's like a real world reason.
I don't know. We just play.
Shooty shoot.
You just heard me say I skipped all the important shit in the game.
Just choose the right perks, man. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. But there's all kinds of spinoffs too, like Fallout Pinball, Fallout Shelter.
Dude, Fallout Shelter is like a mobile game, right?
Yeah, I played the hell out of Fallout Shelter a while ago. Yeah, it's just a fun, like you build like different little rooms.
Yeah.
And then you can bring people into your vault and give them roles.
Do they have experiments in
them? You can experiment on them, yeah.
And did you buy Fallout the role-playing game?
What?
Is that the board game that you bought?
Oh, yeah.
So we bought that.
Fantasy Flight.
We might get that. And then there's also a Magic the Gathering Fallout coming out this year, or already came out. Wizards of the Coast.
There's gonna be so much stuff dropping now. Yeah.
What's Fallout's back, baby?
Apple Pip Boy is coming out.
Anywho,
I think that's a thing you can download for your Apple Watch is the Pip Boy loadout.
Oh, really?
For your Apple Watch. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's a thing that exists.
I thought about it just getting huge. Everybody walking around with giant Pip Boys on their wrist, like
you got like
hipster clothes.
You got like a tablet attached to a wristband. Yes. It's like one of those iPad nanos or whatever they were, the smaller iPads.
Yeah. But the whole revelation that Cooper is the Vault Boy was neat. And I think I can safely say that Walton Goggins carries this show for sure. Me.
Yeah,
especially by the end. I just think that I think it does a great job. Like ultimately, the show builds certain characters. Maximus becomes less insufferable throughout. For me, you know, it doesn't flower completely, but I love Lucy Ella Purnell's character. I love even what they did with like people like Norm and Chet, I was completely uninterested, but I became more interested.
Norm was the biggest surprise for me because in the first like two or three episodes, literally every time they cut back to Norm, I'm like, fuck off. I don't care.
Sad boy.
I'm like yelling at my screen, like get this 55 or 16 year old man off my screen. But then by the end of the episode or by the end of episode seven, like his storyline is probably the most intriguing. Like
full on Nancy Drew.
Yeah, this the best thing this show does is sort of explore the role of the vaults and how they began. And a lot of that is Walton Goggins' character with the flashbacks of his time as Cooper before the war kicked off everything. It's that stuff is the most intriguing to me for the show. And but yeah, you're right. Norm, I think they did a complete 180 on because by the end of episode seven, I'm like, okay, I want to know what happens to Norm. Like, does he figure it out? What's going on with Vault 31?
Yeah. How tall is Moises Arias?
I don't know. He looks like a short king.
Is that Norm?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna guess 5'4".
Oh, at the most.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were looking at it. I thought you Googled it.
I bet it does have. Yeah. How tall? I could have.
We asked the important questions here on streaming things.
He's exactly. He's 5'1".
Wow.
Dang. He's doing great work though.
Yeah.
That's a little guy.
Yeah.
Ultimately we get into episode two. We get that. I like the shootout in Philly.
Oh yeah. The shootout's dope.
And it's cool because I don't know anything about ghouls yet. And he's just getting shot in the back. And I'm like, okay. In fact, after watching the show, I still don't know what ghouls are. But we'll get into that in the finale discussion. The whole shootout's great. And I like that they really let, throughout this show, they let Cooper go there. Like, he's not just an anti-hero. He kills a dog. For a second, I was like, nobody's going to like him now. Like, that's the cardinal rule of TV. Like, you can't anti-hero somebody who has killed a dog.
Yeah.
I thought that was bad news bears, but I was so happy when he gave it the stem pack at the end.
What about that scene where they just throw the puppy in the incinerator?
Oh, yeah, casually?
open up episode two and they're like, and I was like, oh no.
And that puppy and they have that, they're like, meep, like
noise. That's like, oh man, this is...
Yeah, it's rough. Yeah.
And it was fun seeing Michael Emerson as Dr. Velzig.
Yeah, that's your favorite Lost character, right?
Yeah, yeah. Love to hate him. He's so good. I was really sad that he's not in the show a lot more. You just get to see his disembodied head for most of it. But I think the shootout scene at the end of episode two is probably the height in terms of action that the series has so far. Like, I think the action scene is actually, like, pretty well done.
Yeah.
And I don't think the rest of the show quite catches back up to that at any point, which is fine. But that scene is really good because it marries the action. It marries the character of Cooper, and the side characters are working really well at that point too. Cause you got Ma, June and Barv
Hilarious.
I wish we would go back to them. Hopefully we go back to them episode eight. I don't know, but like it's this really fun little exchange and it's brutal too. Like his bullets are like, pulling huge ass holes in people. And there's that scene where he shot a guy in the neck and you just see that guy like struggling in the foreground for a while. And he ends up just sitting next to him and is just kind of looking at him.
He's like, I would offer you a cherry tomato, but you got a hole in your neck. Can we talk about somebody who people love to hate? And that's Michael Rapaport.
His
face finally.
Yeah.
We talked about that in the first episode. And then
you said you kind of like that was a spoiler because like if he had taken his helmet off and I was like, Michael fucking Rapaport, I would have been like, holy shit, because there's that whole scene where he's like running from the radioactive bear.
Is what that creature's called.
Yaogwai.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like,
don't feed it after midnight.
Give me the stem back.
Dude, because when we last episode, when I looked up IMDb and it credited Knight Titus as Michael Rapaport, it was funny. And as I started watching episode two, I'm like, is it? I don't know. And then when he goes, oh shit, fuck, like, oh, there he is. Okay. Yeah. They're just doing something with his voice. Okay.
I'm pretty sure a large population of the people that watch this were with Maximus when they're like, don't give it to him.
1,000%.
So don't give
Michael Rapaport a little bitch. Has always been annoying to many people.
Yeah.
But recently he's been very outspoken against the people in support of Palestine.
Yeah.
And so Had he been like a main character that lived, people probably wouldn't have even watched the show. But since he just is a complete piece of shit coward that dies immediately, they were like, it was worth him getting a paycheck.
For sure.
You fucking suck. This is your fault.
Yeah.
I just wanted Dunkin' Donuts and then we had to go into this fucking cave.
They got us out here looking for these toasters.
Yeah, he's completely disenfranchised Brotherhood of Steel and
cleanness.
You clean my jockstrap.
Yeah, that's the whole back. That's the whole running joke is clean where my balls touch on the armor.
Yeah,
but just wipe it with your jacket and slap it back on. Not
the curtain,
though.
Just the
need a curtain to clean that thing with for sure. Yeah, I really like that. Was a good like follow up episode, but I was like less sold on the show after episode two.
I was too.
There was a lot of flaws. I felt like in the editing and again some of the over the top silliness when I was kind of like, oh no, I don't know. But I wasn't completely brought back in until episode four.
Did you like the farmer in episode two?
Oh yeah, the diaper. I wrote diaper guy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, did you try putting water in your water filter? And he's like, oh, interesting.
Thank you for not killing me.
Yeah.
It was my pleasure to not kill you.
You should stick around and be my wife. I'm pretty sure I'm dying. Yeah, you don't have to put up for me long. No, I'm okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's a whole thing. I don't remember. One of my favorite characters is the chicken fucking doctor.
Oh, yeah.
Is that in episode two or three?
Well, he shows up. I think it's in two because that's when Titus is learning this.
First
suit.
Gets the armor.
Yeah, it's like the first person he saves, quote unquote.
Yeah. I love that. He's like, one of his first lines is, scientists always get the short end of the short straw because we're adventurous. And he's talking about fucking chickens. You know, it's what you find out later. He saves the guy and he runs away. And his other guy's like, sorry, he was fucking my chickens. And Max just looks over like, what? God damn it.
Yeah. Damn it.
That was really episode two. I fucking chickens.
Yeah. That's great.
I was glad that guy kind of keeps popping up randomly throughout the series.
Oh yeah.
Like you just kind of see him running around in the background and then he comes back in, I think episode seven in a pretty big way.
Have you seen what happens in episode three? Walk me through.
So episode three is where we kind of get the flashback of Cooper making the man from Dead Horse and he doesn't like having to kill his buddy. Thaddeus joins Maximus. That's when the gulper steals the head. And Cooper's using Lucy.
And he's got Lucy.
Yeah.
And the whole bit about how torture don't work.
Yeah. Why are you torturing me, sir? I ain't torturing you. Using his bait.
They did a study. They used to do a thing called studies.
You believe that?
I love Walton Goggins so goddamn much.
I could listen to him talk all the time.
Were you guys aware from playing the games that they need that radioactive medicine to not turn feral? Because like the whole bit when she breaks all of his little things in the backpack was like a nothing to me. I was like, what does that even mean?
I'm pretty sure that's added into the show. Like, I don't think that was a thing in the game. Yeah. I think the games are just like, oh, you're a ghoul. Eventually over time, you'll lose your mind depending on how badly you were subjected to the radiation. But in this, they kind of add this little bit of lore that you can take that medicine to keep you from going feral longer. Yeah.
He's been at it for 200 years.
But I kind of like that ad in a way. I like it because it does kind of give the ghoul like a little bit more agency and he is fallible. Because if you have a character, it's like, I can just soak up bullets and I'm not in trouble. But this gives him a little bit of like.
How do you kill a ghoul in the game? Is it like a zombie? You just like shoot him in the head?
Shoot him.
You just shoot him. Yeah.
But they don't absorb bullets in the game?
No. Well, no. I've killed them with like traps.
They're harder to kill than normal human beings, but like you can still kill them.
But the healing thing isn't a thing.
I think they did that just for his character being so old and irradiated, basically. I think. It just kind of gave that to him.
Yeah.
It is neat that he's been around since the world was the way it was before, you know?
Mm-hmm. Did you like his golden rule?
He says,
thou shalt get sidetracked by bullshit.
Which every is like, goddamn time.
Yeah, which is basically about the game.
That's the golden rule of this podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. We have it stitched on a blanket on the wall.
By bullshit every goddamn time. I love that you can describe this show in one sentence pretty well. It's a bunch of different people who are trying to get head. in the wasteland.
I was waiting for the head comment. Gotta get the head.
Gotta get head.
They're all upset about the MacGuffin,
yeah,
which is head. And they're all just so eager for
it. A bunch of bros watching this, like, huh. Every time. Hell yeah.
Yeah, anything that Walton Goggins' character says. And then episode 4, that's the big one where Steve, what about this episode was the big turn for you, Steve?
Well, one big turn is that it didn't have Maximus in it. So we got to focus on like the characters that I actually like care about and think they were doing interesting things. But also you get to see the Cooper and Lucy kind of interact. Lucy kind of comes into her own and becomes a badass through her time in the Super Duper Mart. You can see Matt Berry as Snip Snip, the robot, which is just so fucking, I love Matt Berry so much.
Is he from What We Do in the Shadows?
Yeah, he's Laszlo.
I like how they bring him back to
Codsworth.
Yeah, Codsworth. Bartholomew Codsworth.
This is how we talk in Arizona.
This is how we talk in Arizona, baby. Just the way the robot talks to her, she's like, there's this man and he was gonna try to sell me to people. And he's like, that sounds terribly interesting. It's so good.
I thought you were gonna sexually assault me. Oh, I would never.
I would never. I'm just gonna harvest your organs. Yeah, and this the dialogue between Lucy and Cooper is really good, where like they it's like she bites off his finger, so he cuts off hers.
That's the most honest transaction we've had.
Yeah, and then like at the very end when she kind of gets the best of him and she has proven how badass she is, she's like, golden rule, motherfucker, and like gives him the vials to save him. Like, it's really good. That's like the best character moment. And also it's the first time they start leading little breadcrumbs as to what happened to Shady Sam.
And we have the Cheeto-fingered Stranger Things character guy, Stoner on the couch.
Yeah.
The guy who runs the arcade.
Yeah.
I love him, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, we can do 60.
They're just watching Cooper's old movies. No, that you're right. I think that is the best episode. What? And that was for me where I was like, this show is on to something.
What she says something to them. She's got Codsworth like hostage and she says something to them. And he's like, lady, he's a fucking robot.
That's like holding an air conditioner hostage.
Air conditioning sounds nice.
Yeah, I'd probably be more concerned. It's great. In which he had loaded up some like Drano or something in the syringes.
The Abraxo?
Yeah,
Abraxo. Abraxo. Is that from the game?
Yep.
I really like this episode too. I liked the end of it because you see her when she comes out of that situation, that interaction, she's like geared up. Like she's got the leather armor. She's got
the leather armor. Yeah.
She's missing the Vault-Tec top and she's just like geared up.
I was upset that they went back to her because it seemed like a growth of her character that she was becoming less like vaulty.
Yeah.
And then later on, she's just zipped up and perky again.
Oh, you're the best place in the world, a vault.
Yeah. And I was like, what? That's kind of lame.
Yeah.
Is that's armor you can get in the game, right? The leather thing?
Leather armor.
Yeah. It's like, what level do you think you would be if you were Lucy at the end of this, like, you know, at least through episode 7?
It must be about 5.
Yeah, pretty
five
low or still.
Six.
Like, she's still using pretty low weapons.
Yeah, she's got
that Trank gun.
Yeah. She picks up the classic 10mm, which is a spitting image of the game, which is awesome.
I want the gun that Maximus uses as a Brotherhood of Steel guy.
Oh, yeah, that big
revolver. It's a revolver kind of thing. Yeah, fucking looks dope. I want that. I bet you could buy it. I'm going to buy it on Etsy or something.
Hold on, let me buy it.
There it is.
Episode 5 is where the mystery really starts to kick up, I think, right? Because we get like a, what's going on with Vault 31? And Norm really starts sleuthing pretty hard at this point. He's already been sus of Betty. Fucking Betty.
All the overseers are from Vault 31, including his dad.
That's weird.
Yeah, it's a little weird. What's going on there?
Like, I don't think it's weird, you know?
I'm a coward.
I just started getting laid from somebody who's not my cousin. Yeah, she's got an eye patch, but it's progress.
Is this the episode where he goes, that's a wet woman?
Yeah. And she stands up.
When she starts giving birth?
Yeah, she stands up and her water breaks.
I don't think that's this one, but it might have already happened, but either way, that was amazing. God, he's like, oh, wow, I am doing it for you.
I was so taken aback when he just said
that. No, I think it is because that's where they're giving everybody fucking Jell-O cake. And I'm like, why?
They love Jell-O cake.
Love Jell-O cake.
Take that jelly mold back. Yeah. I'll never forget.
Get Zach's that jelly mold back.
His line delivery.
Do a flip.
I fucking love that. And then we find out.
I do need a YouTube series of just Zach Cherry's character and the other guy that seem to be best friends. Is it Reg? Is that his name?
Oh, Reg. They both run for office.
It's just the two of them just being bros in the vault. I do kind of want to see like a bunch of YouTube shorts about those two.
Yeah, we could do with a little spinoff of what's going on in their heads for sure.
Let's get some Jell-O cake.
Take that jelly mold back. And then we get the increasing of the mystery because Maximus and Lucy start to talk. I think this is the episode where they do that. And we see Shady Sands. What we later find out is Shady Sands and the crater there. And he says, the bombs fell when I was a kid, you know, and Reclamation Day already happened. You know, and it's just confusing. It looks like he's misinformed, but you're like, oh, I wonder what's really going on there.
Yeah. What's the truth? We get a call out from the fans of Streaming Things at the end of this episode.
Really?
Yeah. When they see the two people on the bridge and they have the hold up and they end up killing them and they're like, well, she's like, why? And they're like, ah, they're fiends.
Oh, our
people that eat other people, just like our fans.
Yeah.
The stream fiends. I'm and so by glad other to people, see you guys in there.
We mean ass.
Yeah.
What about ass jerky?
Mystery, mystery meat.
Right. That was episode 4. Yeah, he's like, that ass jerky ain't going to cut itself.
I was like, what the fuck?
And then every now and then it keeps cutting to the like so the like ass flash just flapping around on his backpack.
Probably pretty tasty for real.
If you were going to eat any part of a human, it would definitely be the ass.
Yeah.
But also, it's also ghoul ass though.
I love the
probably easily ghoul leathered.
Ass. Yeah.
It's probably already halfway there. So you just got to let it dry out.
I love that he eats people, kills dogs, and everybody still loves it.
Yeah. That was one of my favorite scenes when they talked to Roger.
And yeah, like, Roger,
it's heartbreaking.
Was Roger played by who's the liquid Terminator?
The liquid Terminator? No, I don't think it's him. Robert Patrick? Is that who you're thinking of?
Yeah, I thought it was Robert Patrick briefly.
Is it? That would be dope if it was. I don't think it is.
No.
But no, Roger's played by Neil Huff.
What's he in? Because I thought he was Neil in Huff. Some other things.
He's in Spotlight. He's in Moonrise Kingdom.
Good movies.
Big Daddy.
Good movie.
What's he look like?
You're laughing. That's a damn good movie.
We solved that mystery.
It's not as cool as Robert Patrick.
It's not Robert Patrick. Robert Patrick wouldn't have let them make his ass jerky. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
he would have like T-1000 ran out of that room.
Yeah.
My name's Roger.
Ass jerky ain't gonna cut itself.
I thought after he killed him, he was eating him to try to stop the turn. And I didn't know he was just eating him for substance.
Yeah, he just wanted ass jerky. Yeah. I'm out of cherry tomatoes.
He's like, sometimes you got to eat a fella out here.
Sometimes you got to eat ass in the wasteland.
Yeah.
I used to do it back before the war. I've been eating ass a long time.
This episode of Streaming Things is sponsored by BetterHelp. What's the first thing you'd do if you had an extra hour in your day?
Sleep.
You would sleep more.
More, yeah.
Okay, sleep that's more. Fair. Some people might go for a run, read an extra book. A lot of us spend our whole lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. That's what therapy can do. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so that you can do more of it. You can learn positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. You can get empowered to be the best version of yourself.
You can also nap.
You can also just nap. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, if you've never tried it, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/streamingthings today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Streaming Things.
April is here, the tomb is empty, and it's time to give a special thanks to all of our patrons who keep the lights on at Streaming Things. And I want to give a special shout out to our super patrons for the month of April. Thank you so much to Stanton Valentino, Mattelstat, Bryce Coppin, Susie Callahan, Anthony Corona, Sunshine, Huckleberry Cauliflower, Ashley Hazen, Mike from New Hampshire, Brett X, Emily Scarano, Lil Tickler, Svento7, Jay Scramo, Bluff Pum, A.K. Ashley Ray, Adam Busby, Wendy O'Loughlin, Jason Hawkins, Conrad, Kaylee Sampson, Rabbit Dog in a Barbie Car, Charlie Friday, Alexis Adler, Peaches, Emmy, Haley B., Joe Velez, John Collins, Amanda King, Trisha Bueller, Sun Loving Mortal, Suzanne Rode, Jen Robinson, Kalisha Reeves, Aaron Armstrong, Kevin Strother, Ashley Powers, Stephen the Fifth, Casey McCain, and Enza. Thank you all so much from the bottom of our hearts. And with that, let's get back to the episode.
Episode 6 is where we really get a ton of backstory on Cooper, and we meet the voice actor that will be a snip-snip later on.
Bartholomew Cosworth?
Yeah.
You're in the best business, baby. War is where it's going to be, yet we have to sell commodities. I'm a commodity, you're a commodity. We're the slickest bastards in New York City.
Yeah. Matt Berry's a treasure. Just watch everything he's in.
I don't even watch What We Do in the Shadows because I'm a real piece of shit.
Fuck you.
I've seen a movie and that's it.
Yeah, same. Yeah. But I've seen the super edits of all of Matt Berry's lines from that show. So many, they're so fucking funny.
Yeah.
He just says the funniest shit. I'm like, God, I gotta watch that show. And then I just don't.
He's so fucking good.
Do you know what the most beautiful thing in the world is? Fucking. Like every time I see those, I just.
Things I can do. I can trim any bush into the shape of a vulva.
Yeah, I have seen that episode. He's cutting all the bushes into vaginas. He's my best friend. He's my pal. My homeboy. My rotten soldier.
My sweet cheese.
My good time boy.
Anyway, oh, man.
I know all those lines and yet have not seen the show because it's so fucking iconic.
You've got to watch that show. He's great.
He shows up in this show. And then this is where we realize, like, we see some backstory of the original Vault 4 and how the science, you know, what's better than a scientist running the world?
I love how you get that one little clip. I don't remember if it's in this episode or the next one where the scientist is like, I really think that it still was a great idea to give scientists unregulated power over people to conduct any experiments they want.
Yeah.
Don't like, let this dissuade
all
you.
All that shit's going on in the background.
Help me, help me. Yeah. And it's his great uncle. So they get dropped into Vault 4.
Which is the first one, right? That's the one that Coop was promoting.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
And you must be in one of the good vaults, you know? And I like how I was telling Steve before you got here, but you like unintentionally spoiled a little bit. Not really, because most people watching the show are going to be fans of the games anyway. Right. But it was something I didn't know. You know, you were just kind of casually like, yeah, and they're running all these different experiments in each vault. And that was like the big reveal of this show.
Yeah. Whoops.
But, you know, I didn't even know enough to know that meant anything at the time. But yeah, she's from one of the good vaults.
I can see Chris Parnell as a vault overseer. I love Chris Parnell. He's the dude with the one eye.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he's such a great actor. I haven't.
Nope. Says Goosey right here.
There are a lot of really good. Fred Armiston was in this.
Armiston. Yeah.
Just out of
We're not ready to talk about Fred Armiston yet because I fucking love that.
But Chris Parnell made a joke that I'm like, that's 100% a Chris joke. It was when these people, I just can't tell jokes around them. Like, I would tell you this joke, but it bombed. Yeah.
She doesn't get it.
She doesn't get it.
Mm. I like when he puts on the glasses. And
it's just the one eye in the middle.
Yeah.
It's so stupid.
When he drinks from his coffee mug, like, I picked the moldy one.
Because he's got the old coffee cups there still. Yeah. We run into Charlie the commie in like a previous, in the before times.
The before times. Oh, his friend.
And the Hollywood Forever crew.
I laugh so hard.
Headed by Moldaver.
I laugh so hard when they're at the bar. He's at the bar with Cooper and he's like, you remember when we were making that movie and I played a generic Indian? And he's like, "Nah, man, you played whatever the character's name with such grace." It's like, come on, dude.
It's a role for you.
Come on.
Yep. A little knock at how Hollywood actually is.
Yeah.
But they tell her, they tell Lucy not to go, well, they tell Goosey not to go to level 12 under any circumstances.
Nope, says Goosey here.
And then we get this is the episode that pissed all of the neckbeards off. Because this is where we get the isolated timeline on the whiteboard of what happened to Shady Sands and the New California Republic. And this is where people decided that it's retconning Fallout New Vegas and that the show is trash and it's trying to ruin the video games and it's woke and it's going to go broke. which is fucking absurd, but hey,
it's just changing the numbers of the year, right?
No, yeah, it doesn't mean anything.
Who the fuck cares?
I think it just means that slightly different year that Shady Sands would have taken place.
Or are you telling me in the post-apocalyptic wasteland, they don't have their timelines matched up together?
Right.
Wow. What a concept.
Shady Sands was a huge settlement in some of the early games. I remember it specifically in 2. I'm not sure if it's in 3, but I know it's just they wanted to put it in there and make it a big part of the story. So
yeah. And so at this point, we know that Maximus was a denizen of Shady Sands and it was blown up. He survived by being in a refrigerator. And then the Brotherhood of Steel came through.
You watched Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull.
It works. Yeah, it's true.
It works.
And then
so there's actually a mission in Fallout 4 where you go to save a kid in a refrigerator. So that they're saying that that was a throwback with the Indiana Jones reference. And then I think it's called Kid in the Fridge is the name of the quest.
Kid in a
Fridge. It's a child super mutant that's inside the fridge. But
very cool.
You guys both played Dead Space, right?
Yeah. I love Dead Space.
Yeah. Did you guys know the first letter of each chapter spells out Nicole is dead?
Yeah, it spoils the game. What? Yeah. The first letter in each chapter. Yep. It's so cool. It gives away the twist.
I don't know who Nicole is, but whoa.
That's Isaac's girlfriend. The whole reason he's at the ship is he's trying to save his girlfriend who was stationed there.
And she's dead the whole time.
Yeah. But you see her, she talks to you throughout the game, but it's because the item, I forget what they call it, that totem that is causing all the stuff infects your mind and makes you hallucinate. So he's been hallucinating her this whole time because the marker, that's what it's called. Yeah. The marker wants him to do all this stuff. So you're technically working for the villain of the game for much of it because it's tricking you.
Poor Nicole.
Yeah. She was dead the whole time.
And it was right there in the game trying to tell you.
If he just read the chapters.
Yeah. Crazy.
I just wanted to get excited about something that means nothing to me with you guys when I read that on Twitter yesterday. By the way, sorry for anyone who's currently playing Dead Space. Yeah. Stop to listen to the podcast.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert for a 16-year-old game.
Yeah. I can't believe it's that old, by the way.
They just released. They just remade it.
Last year.
Yeah. You were playing it, right? That game scares the fuck out of me.
I went through a horror genre, Callisto Protocol, and then I went into that, which are basically the same game.
And you played that naked ass cheek game, Alan Wake 2?
Oh, yeah. Alan Wake is a great game, but yeah.
It's a lot of cheeks in it.
Yeah.
That's why I like it.
Yeah. Big clap.
We find out that Moldaver is the Flame Mother, and we get to see the denizens of Vault 4 pulling their tits out and doing this ceremony. Oh,
yeah. It's nice.
Where they're drinking blood, rubbing the ashes of Shady Sands on their bodies.
Yeah.
And Lucy's trying to oh, I'll just do whatever.
I'll play along.
When in Rome,
she kind of zips
a little bit.
She's like, nah.
But it's also when she finds out about the ashes and stuff, she's like, oh, wait a second.
What? Yeah.
So I don't mind an orgy every now and then, but this is too far.
So let's go back just to the, when Maximus and Lucy they're in quarantine and they're talking and she's like,
oh yeah.
So you want to have sex?
She's very sex forward.
He's like, nah, that weird thing might happen.
At the end of the episode, do you want to make my cock explode now?
Yeah.
I love how he's like, that weird thing might happen. It happens to other dudes, not me, but it happens with other guys.
That happens every time.
Your dick gets swollen and explodes.
It pops like a pimple. And she's like, no, it pretty much happens all the time. Go for it, Lucy.
And he was eating oysters beforehand. Aren't oysters an aphrodisiac? You want to make my cock explode?
Yeah.
Just the way you asked that so earnestly. The line delivery was perfect. It's Max is growing on me now.
So the stuff on Vault 4, everything that happens in Vault 4. What? I'm still confused by everything that happens in Vault 4. Like, I don't fully understand why they worship Moldaver as this entity that
the
they
flame mother.
They pull the titties out and rub blood and ashes all over themselves. I'm not sure why that's a thing they do, but hey, you know, I'm not judging. And then like the stuff where like she goes on to, was it like level 12? Is that what
she
it
does
is?
Go to level 12?
Yeah. Don't go to level 12. There's a button on the elevator and anyone can go there at any time. Yeah. But just don't. Okay.
Yeah.
But if you want to know how to use the toilets, come ask me.
I'm tired of cleaning that up.
Yeah, she goes down there. She sees like there's like a tank of gulpers, and then she sees a video of like a pregnant woman giving birth to a bunch of gulpers that then start eating her.
Yeah. Are gulpers the thing that she fought to for the head?
Yeah, yeah. And then there's like a bunch of other people that are in stasis pods as well, and they like, oh, we're gonna banish you from the like
that whole like, turn is hilarious.
That turn is hilarious, but like I still am kind of like. What's going on at this vault?
You're letting me go?
That's an optimistic way of looking at
it. He's like, we really should sharpen this.
Which is why it's really mean. So I'm going to give you 2 weeks of supplies. Yeah.
Can I ask a question? Yes, someone will help you carry it to the door.
That's so great.
Parnell's amazing. I just, the
no, you're right. My understanding is weird
and I don't fully grasp what's happening.
They are all the descendants of horrid experiments that happened in Vault 4.
And they're letting the remnants of Shady Sands into the vault with them.
Because the actual leaders of that vault were killed by the gulper that was his great uncle. And so they've kind of been running themselves ever since. What's going on level 12 is somehow remnants of those experiments that looks like they're doing it, but they're not. They're just taking care of them. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It's what I meant to understand. Is they're not actually performing any experiments. They're just like.
So they were just like, oh man, Beth got eaten by her baby gulpers. That sucks. Oh well. Like, I don't fully understand that.
What do you mean? What's the alternative?
She gives birth to the baby gulpers and then you like pull her out of the water.
They just like watched it happen.
I imagine they
and
would
then
have.
You drop some deviled eggs in the tank and let them go to town.
Yeah. Yum yums.
Is that what you use for bait in the games for gulpers or something?
I just love the fact that deviled eggs just exist.
Thinking that the gulper was after the head too.
That's everybody wanted. Everybody's just on brand for gulpers.
Yeah, for sure.
That was Steve's nickname in high school.
Yeah.
Sure was.
Yeah.
Gulper. The gulper.
The gulper. I just really like milk.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, man. But we also realized that Cooper knew Moldaver. That's weird. All kinds of stuff that isn't clear yet is going on. As far as her being the flame mother, I don't know why they're like pulling their boobs out and rubbing and drinking blood and stuff. That seems a little overkill.
Yeah.
But it's obvious that she is like the leader of the resistance. They feel very strongly for her. Maybe too strongly, some could argue, after this ceremony.
Can I say one thing?
Always.
This is a little bit of an aside about this show.
Golden rule, buddy. Go on.
It was something about the show that the show kept blue balling me. All right.
Okay.
For sure.
What do I say a lot on this podcast when it
let
comes
them fuck?
To
you want
to
see dicks?
Let them fuck. Let me see that dick. Yes, Jimmy.
Yeah.
I'm so glad someone's listening to the show. Yeah. Let me see that dick. This show, I think, takes the goddamn blue ribbon in terms of like, here's a show where it's like, we're going to see that dick. No, we don't. There's a little bit of reflection that hides it. And I was so every time like, we're going to finally see it. The titties are coming out.
Yeah.
I'm going to see a dick come out too. Where is it? Every time. It's blue balling me. It's like tickling me. It's like getting up there like Gucci Gucci.
So
Gucci Gucci.
Gucci Gucci. Would you have been happy if instead of fingers in the gulper's mouth, it was a bunch of dicks?
Oh.
This. Oh my God. I'm coming. I would have loved it.
Or there
so
was
much.
A version of the gulper, which had a bunch of wangs.
Oh man. That's a smile I could enjoy all day. You know
Steve
what I'm saying?
Steve would want to be gulped by that thing. Yeah.
Let me see them dicks.
That is heaven going all the way down and they take forever to digest.
Yeah.
What was Cooper's plan, by the way? He's like, it's all right. They take a long time to digest. It'll be fine.
Let me go hike
6 miles in the other direction. Oh, he was just going to refill and then come back.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense.
Cause that's why he kept her around. Cause she's got the tracker.
Right.
So he would just go get his nummies and then go. And
well, that's another thing that the show does different from the games, right? Is that the Pip-Boy cannot come off. Is that correct?
No, I think it comes off.
Really?
Yeah.
I think like they show people without it on at some point, but I think maybe it doesn't quite work as well.
Interesting.
I'm not really sure. Honestly.
Somebody just commented that on my video, but I was wondering.
That's a good question, actually.
I think it's like grafted onto them or something?
Because Barb takes hers off a ton.
No, because in the game, in the game at the beginning of specifically Fallout 4, you go and pick it up and put it on. And in 76, when you leave the vault, you have to find it and put it on.
Oh, interesting. So I assume, that guy can suck nuts.
Yeah, he can get gulped.
No, not get gulped. He can gulp.
Dang. He can gulp.
Which brings us to episode 7. And again, this is what I mean about Cooper's anti-hero status. I could not believe that he killed Tommy. I mean, it's such a cool Western thing to do. It's a classic, like, even, even Kill Bill does it, where it's like, when you grow up and you want to kill me, you come find me. You know, like, that's a whole thing that happens a lot. And then he's just like, just kidding, I'm gonna kill you right now.
Yeah.
Kid, the kid starts to draw a gun on him.
He drew on him, but he knew what he was doing. He's so accurate. There's no, like, later.
I don't know, bullets will blow up that gun.
Yeah. He could have shot the gun out of his hand. He could have shot him in the leg.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
He just doesn't like Tommy.
Yeah, fuck Tommy.
That poor dad, though. His oldest is dead. He killed two of his kids.
Yeah.
At least he's got his nice daughter.
That wasn't George Lopez, was it?
Absolutely not. Under no circumstances was that George Lopez.
I thought for sure it was.
I was like, yeah, all right. No,
definitely not, man.
Big fan of Spy Kids. Jimmy.
And Blue Beetle.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He's great in Blue Beetle.
Yeah. I did like the little gag where they're like, honey, they're looking for the daughter. And he's just like, eating chicken something, and there's this little bit where he's like, did you eat my daughter? Yeah. And she just walks and gives him that's fucked up. That's weird. Everyone knows I just eat ass.
You want some jerky?
Thaddeus's foot from where it was stepped on is fucking gnarly.
This is what I want to say. When they introduced Thaddeus to tag along with Maximus, it immediately makes the scenes with Maximus more endurable. I like the energy that the Thaddeus character brings to that dynamic and how they, by the end of it, they're just broing out like,
yeah, it's so funny.
They're doing the Danny McBride high fives to each other.
Brand me, bro.
Dude, brand me.
No,
and then he tells really him hurts. After he brands him, which is hilarious.
Like, yeah. Man, I shouldn't have let you brand me.
And when Thaddeus is with the dog later, it's really funny too. It's cute when he's like limping along. I did not expect, he took his shoe off. I forgot he got stepped on.
Oh, that foot looks so funny.
His fucking toes just fall to the side. He's like, oh, I'm going to die.
And then we get to meet the chicken fucker again. Thaddeus runs into the chicken fucker.
I love that. And he's trying to kill himself. He's like putting his toe on the trigger and then he sees him. He's like, oh, hey.
We also see that guy We also see that guy in Philly too when they're walking through the market. What are they trying to fix? And he's trying to
fix the doctor's foot was blown off. I have tinctures that help feet.
He's like a snake oil salesman in the future.
He's not wrong. He does have something that'll make it right back.
Everybody just thought he's bullshitting because he fucks chickens.
Just inject him with a bunch of radiation and turn him into a ghoul.
Well, that's how I'm confused about how ghouls work. Because he gives Thaddeus that like inhaler that turns him into a ghoul. Right. Mm-hmm. And apparently you guys are saying it's different than the games, but it seemed like something that would happen to everybody over prolonged exposure to the normal radiation outside. Yeah. In this universe, that's true, but it's also true that the stuff that they like to drink is what also makes them a ghoul. And it made it look like when he gets shot with the arrow at the end of episode 7, when it heals scarred like the ghoul skin. It's almost as if to imply they look normal until they heal enough times, you know,
which
can't be true. Cause like the lady ghoul that we met in episode 4 that Martha. Was locked up. Yeah.
Why'd you say that name?
I had that note written down.
Yeah, I was like, Martha?
Martha. But there's no way she was living such an adventurous life that, you know, she got scarred like that.
Dude, Martha plays.
Spoiler alert for our next segment. I won't even say that. Maximus and Lucy kiss. And we get Fred Armisen.
Yeah.
One of my favorite characters. I mean, the whole...
Of course they have Fred Armisen playing a music snob.
Yeah. The whole bit about him, like, in the mids. And Thaddeus just trying to pretend like he understands. Like, oh, there they are. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thaddeus is the character I surprisingly felt more and more attuned with throughout the series. Like when he's having this conversation with Fred Armisen, I'm like, I 100% do that with people.
Oh, for sure.
Oh yeah. Yeah. There it is. The mids.
And he's like, no, it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
There it is.
Oh yeah. Wow.
Says something like, oh, it's out there. And he's like, no, it's actually in there, but
yeah, it's on there. Yeah.
Yeah. It's such a random.
Honestly, I feel like I'm Fred Armisen, unfortunately. I'm talking to somebody about movies or something.
For sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
But not as cool as Fred. I also like when he peeks out while they're kissing and he's like, that's nice.
Yeah.
And then keeps slamming the door for safety.
Oh, he's all those. He's like, I really like your booby traps. You did well. And he just looks around. There's like eight people and
dead. I love how there's just a human sized mouse trap.
Yeah. It's one of his traps. Like, how'd you miss that?
Right.
Who do you think gave rat poison to the Raiders? Was it Steph?
Ooh, I thought it was. I thought it was Norm? Betty.
Really?
Yeah.
But that's a really.
Yeah. I think it's. Because I don't think it's Norm. I think because Norm wants to do it.
Yeah, Norm wanted to, but it seemed confused when it happened.
I think it was Betty too. Just how Vault 31 is. I think they're
Steph's from Vault 31, and Steph was the one that was like, "We're not going to let this slide." And
it's definitely one of those two. It's one of Betty or Steph, but it plays into the whole like we are the people who are controlling this situation. I think.
Interesting.
Yeah,
because the Raiders were. They're about to start shaping up, I think. They were eating. they were eating now.
They were going to have one more talk with Zach Cherry, and they were going to turn around.
You know, we kind of want to know what this jelly mold thing's all about.
I think you guys are ready. Bring in the jelly mold.
I don't think you're ready for this jelly mold. And I love that Cooper's back with the dog because Thaddeus puts it in the refrigerator, the new Coca-Cola refrigerator. Oh, yeah. And
you can breathe in there, right?
Oh yeah. And there's that whole window.
It cuts back in time to his dog.
Yeah.
And it cuts back to the present. He's with that dog and he's like, you ain't him. Mm-hmm. And then he like begrudgingly starts petting it. And like it's in him. The good, it's like the symbol of his goodness.
Yeah. Cause a big part of Cooper not trusting the whole vault is because there was a rule that no dogs are allowed. And he's like, who said they can't bring no dog?
I think that's in my other notes, but I think that that's hilarious that his final straw was no dogs in the vault. Now hold a goddamn minute.
No dogs allowed.
And we get the heads kissing.
That popped me pretty hard when Lucy and Maximus kiss, and then it pans down, and the severed heads are kissing.
Let's rewind.
I popped.
No.
I don't think I've ever heard that in my life.
You can't just use that expression casually.
That's an expression.
That popped me pretty hard.
It's when you're watching something.
I ejaculated vigorously.
It popped you.
Have you ever
heard the phrase pop a rating?
No.
Wow.
I'm saying if I'm at an ice cream parlor and somebody next to me in line says, how do you feel about the pistachio?
Oh, that popped me.
I can't just say, oh, I come buckets. You know, I could.
Why not?
I'm not going to make friends.
I just in my pants.
Oh, let me get the pistachio, please.
I'll have what he's having. Let me get
two.
Yeah. And then Norm makes a run for it, goes to 31. I fully expected Betty to catch him in her office. I mean, that's the expectation of that scene.
Yeah.
But he's able to just chat with the guy. Betty?
You up? Yeah.
Come immediately. And he sneaks into 31, and that's how the episode ends with him kind of, he hears like a metallic rattling.
Mm-hmm. And he Hello?
Cuts to him. And he's like freaked out, but we don't know why. And that's the end of 7. That's what takes us to the finale. So that's where we're at currently. Tune in Wednesday to hear us talking all about the finale and everything that happened in the show. But
do you want to do bobbleheads?
Yeah, whatever video game Easter eggs, the bobbleheads that you guys have discovered, you know, some really obscure ones maybe, or some really neat ones. Like one thing I don't think you guys mentioned that I got a lot of comments on in my videos was the sound the stem pack makes in episode 1.
Oh, yeah.
Was the sound it makes in the game.
I don't know if I noticed that or picked up on it.
It's like the exact same sound design and people were really tickled by. What else? What else did you find there, Steve?
The sign when they
first. What made you pop?
I'll tell you what made me pop, baby. When I think Lucy's first walking into Philly, there's a sign up by one of the shops that says like salvage, buy, sell, or trade. And those are the options you're able to do with inventory items.
Oh, nice.
Like in the game.
That's nice. With same area, the iguana on a stick.
Yeah.
Is a huge thing. I mean, we could burn through that.
You want to go with all the food?
Yeah. The Branham that she sees, the two-headed cow.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about, you know, iguana on a stick. You got yum-yum deviled eggs, mm-hmm. sugar bombs.
I saw the sugar bombs in the basket of goods being given to Lucy.
The Blamco mac and cheese.
Oh, yeah. Fancy lad snack cakes.
Yeah. There's all almost everything.
Rataway. Yeah. A Braxo cleaner.
The Rataway that he gives Lucy.
Yeah.
I mean, even the ass jerky, I think, is what is called mystery meat. In the game, they call that mystery meat. You can make people into jerky.
I remember Jordan eating the mystery meat
in real life.
No, and the one who's playing Fallout 3 or whatever.
There's a super mutant hand scene in episode 2. Like as Michael Emerson's walking around, there's a cart being pushed. And if you see the person that's in the cart, their body's covered, but you can see their hand and it's a giant like Hulk hand.
Yeah.
And the super mutants in Fallout are just these big green Hulk-like people. And so you get to see a nice little hand of a super mutant.
The poison family she comes up on in episode 2 and the plan D that they take. Those are scenes that are just littered throughout the wasteland. And I assume that it's for death. Plan D.
It's the cyanide capsule. I think Michael Emerson takes one. That's how he kills himself. Yeah.
I'm surprised this product didn't sell better. It tastes like lemon.
The Vault-Tec water chip is the, like at one point when they're having the meeting where they're like Zach Cherry and Reg are kind of arguing about who's in charge. And that one guy's like, hey, can I talk to you guys real quick? And they're like, no, you can say it in front of us. We're transparency's key. And he goes, oh, the Vault-Tec water chip is damaged.
Yeah.
That's the whole MacGuffin from the very first game.
Yeah. Leaving and finding a new water
chip. Because they're only going to survive for like 2 weeks without a water. Mm-hmm. They never solve that problem, by the way, now that Betty's in charge.
Nope.
So the dog, referred to as dog meat in the game. I think he actually says that. Is it at the end of episode 7? I can't remember.
He does. He calls it dog meat.
Yeah.
In that same scene.
Dog meat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, dog meat is a companion you get throughout, I think, the last 3 games for sure.
Oh, is it a dog?
Yeah.
Oh.
He goes and finds stuff for you and attacks people and stuff. You see Randy's Donuts. Now this isn't in the game, but it's a pretty cool, landmark that's in the background, LA, the donut place.
Isn't that landmark used for something in the games though too?
I don't know.
I can't remember. Right. I feel like that was a thing in the game as well.
Randy.
Leather armor, obviously. The Radiation King was one that I don't know if a lot of people will catch, but those are the actual names of the TVs. So when he's putting in that movie that he's in,
It says Radiation
King. Radiation King on the TV. I thought that was pretty neat. Little throwback.
Aren't the lead farmers decked out in the new Vegas armor?
Yeah, the NCR Ranger armor. So, which is like coveted armor that you want to get.
Lead farmers? Cool. Oh, the like Tommy George Lopez?
Yeah. there are a lot of things inside the store if you pay attention. Yeah. What's it?
Majun store.
Majun store. So there's a mini nuke sitting there. Which is it's basically like a rocket that you can shoot and it's like a nuke goes off. And it actually, like, you can turn people into ghouls and stuff with that in the game. If you find the right NPC and you shoot it at them, they'll turn into ghouls.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
Welcome back, boy.
Dude, they hit on so much stuff throughout these. Gornak, I think is the name of the comic or cartoon that they're watching. Yeah.
That's in episode 1, right?
Yeah, it's on the TV. Those are comics that you can find throughout all the games.
In episode 6, there's a newspaper that you can see on the ground for the Capitol Post, which is the newspaper from Fallout 3. Because Fallout 3 takes place in Washington, D.C.
And then Coop, when he's in the lobby of Vault-Tec, he's got a Tesla magazine sitting on his lap.
Yeah.
And those, you can find those and increase like some of your perks.
Mm-hmm. There's a whole bunch of music like a lot of the music.
The ink spots, right? Isn't that the name
of the band? Yeah, so episode two, we hear Into Each Life, Some Rain Must Fall by the Ink Spots and Ella Fitzgerald. That's played in Fallout 3 over Galaxy News Radio with DJ 3 Dog.
Yeah.
Don't Fence Me In by Bing Crosby is played from Fallout 76. It's a Man by Betty Hutton. That is shown in Fallout 4. I Don't Want to Set the World on Fire by the Ink Spots is like the Fallout's I Don't Want to Set the World. That song, that's like the Fallout song.
That's and pretty
then
good.
In episode, in episode three, you get to hear Maybe by the Ink Spots, which is like the intro and outro of the very first Fallout game. So a lot of the songs you hear are directly pulled from, I mean, they're real life, they're actual songs, but they're pulled from the games as well.
I think Philly is kind of a play on Megaton.
For sure.
Obviously, they don't have the giant nuke in the middle, but there's an airplane nose that it's hanging there that's inside of Megaton. Mm-hmm. Or Megatron. No, that's Megaton. Megatron.
Starscream, we have to take over the planet.
You see an Assaultatron in the desert, which is part of a DLC, I think. It's one of the...
It's a Robco robot.
Yeah, so it's like a robot that helps you and shit, but you see it laying in the dirt. So that was pretty neat. I think
you fight a bunch of them too at some point.
Yeah, there's a whole like Automatron DLC for Fallout 4 where you like go to Robco and have to fight a bunch of those things.
And then of course you get the Nuka-Cola stuff. There's some jet inhalers. I think one of the Raiders takes a jet inhaler while they're in the thing. And then where Thaddeus leaves dog meat in the Nuka-Cola freezer bin or whatever, that's a Red Rocket gas station. That's like one of the first places you discover when you leave the vault in Fallout 4.
Yeah. It's right outside of, you go back to your like house and then right outside of your house, there's a Red Rocket there.
Red Rocket.
Yeah. The first Cat in Space poster that was inside Mama June's, Mr. Pebbles.
Yeah.
So that's all over the games. All kinds of stuff, man.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all the stuff I had written.
Yeah.
Do we want to do our top three favorite moments of the episodes? Our Rads moments?
Let's do it. We got to go through all six of the episodes. So your three favorite moments from all six of those.
We're not from each episode, right? We're just running.
Overall.
Three total. Jimmy, let's start with you.
Oh, man. I think we'll start with the big shootout. I think bringing all the main characters together in sort of a pre-climax climax. I really liked it, especially to see Coop just destroy a bunch of people, or the ghoul, with a little bit of comedy coming out too. I mean, he was just wrecking house, and to hear, you know, Mama June and then Lucy and then Wiltzeg. What's the
Vilsig?
Vilsig.
I just keep calling him Dr. Emerson. It's just Mike Emerson.
It's a good clue of things to come in the rest of the series. So that was probably my number three.
Steve, what made you pop?
I'll tell you what made me pop hard. Honorable mention. This isn't my number three, but honorable mention to the farmer from episode two. That's such an awkward performance, but I kind of love it. My number three is them exiling Lucy from Vault 4 is very funny. Yeah. Like just Chris Parnell's performance, like the whole build up, like you think she's going to be murdered. And then he just like pulls out this sword and like, we banish you. And he goes, he just starts frantically trying to cut the rope. And then he's like, we're going to sharpen that later.
And not then, only that, but then Maximus comes in and throwing them. They're like really nice people.
Yeah. Someone should probably check on him. Like that's just really, really funny and a good fun moment.
That is a great scene.
What's your number three, Kit?
I'm going to pull from that same episode and the cock exploding. Just that whole bit.
Honorable mention.
That made you pop.
Yeah. Just put that as my number three. Yeah. What about you, Steve? What's your number two? Or Jimmy, what's your number two?
Probably the when they go to get the drugs for Coop. I think that
episode
that action filled comedic layout is just hilarious with the introduction to Codsworth and just that whole I'm just going to harvest your organs.
Yeah.
I just like that whole thing, and to see a little bit more of a background on the ghoul and just him consuming all those drugs obviously takes me back. But he's like, I would share some of this with you guys, but you weren't invited to this party. And he's just doing every single thing that he can get his hands on.
And watches
just,
his movie.
Yeah, then he just sits back and watches his own movie. Mm-hmm. And another thing is we get to see Lucy kind of do something or make a choice that you get to do in the game is am I going to save all these people or am I just going to let them die and focus on the things that I want? So obviously she made the right choice. And you see later in the episode that one guy's like, oh, there she is. That's her. So she's recognized later for the things that she did or the actions that, or the choices she made. So I thought that was a great, great, great thing.
What about you, Steve? You're number two?
My number two is Jimmy's number three, the shootout in episode two. Just a super fun, cool scene. Walton Goggins being a G.
Yeah.
And I think they really
a ghoul.
Yeah. That's what the G is. Yeah. Oh my God. I didn't even mean that. It's a really great scene that looks cool, but also marries the comedy of the series really, really well. And it just really shined. It's probably one of the high points of the series. What about you? You're number two?
My number two is going to be Jimmy's number two, the supermarket scene. I love that moment so much, the whole bit. And we get to see Lucy kind of, she has abilities. She's dabbled in riflery, you know? She's special.
She's special.
That's right. So yeah, I like that whole takeover. And that's where I was truly sold on this show, was right at the midpoint of the entire thing. Jimmy, your number one moment of the middle episodes.
Probably the Vault 4 experience. I think that whole, you know, from the start to finish, you learn a lot about the lore and everything behind what's going on in the world. And it's really funny. And just the interactions kind of just to say the same shit that you said when you talked about it. Just a really good scene from beginning to end, especially, you know, it starts out funny, ends funny. And it gives you a lot of information. So I really like those interactions.
My number one is, and this is a little bit cheating, but I don't care. Fuck you guys. Come at me. My number one is just everything about the Super Duper Mart. Like if it happens in the Super Duper Mart, it's my number one favorite moment. I mean, from Matt Berry to Lucy setting everybody free to the little stony dudes that are just there. And then when Cooper gets in there and takes all the drugs and watches his movie and falls asleep, like all that shit.
Yeah.
I love it. It's my favorite part of the whole entire season up to this point so far. So yep. My number one, Super Duper Mart. It's Super Duper.
It is Super Duper.
Well, the number one thing that made me pop hard was actually the moment that you used that absurd expression earlier. That whole bit at the radio station. I adore Fred Armisen. I don't know if you've ever seen Broad City, but he is the weirdest character cameo in that show. I'm just a baby.
I'm just a baby. I don't know.
I don't have any money.
Portlandia is probably one of the greatest.
With Fred Armisen?
Series out there.
Have you seen Broad City?
I've seen bits and pieces of it.
They play these, the two main characters are topless maids. They're not really, but they're doing that today. Like,
yeah.
They're like, oh, let's go make some cash. So they decide to clean this dude's apartment, you know, topless. When it comes, but he's got this fetish. He comes out wearing a diaper. He's like, thanks for queening. I'm just a baby. I make a mess. And they're like, whatever, dude, just give us money. We'll call you whatever you want. And he's like, what's money? I'm just a baby. But it's just Fred Armisen. It's fucking ridiculous. But I love his cameo in Fallout. But more than that, it's a great emotional moment between Lucy and Max. They've decided to commit to this. It's their first kiss. And in true Fallout fashion, right as I'm like actually feeling something, and I'm like, these are real people caught in this extraordinary circumstance, the camera tilts down and the two severed heads that they're holding are kissing.
Yeah. And it's the fucking, one face doesn't even have a mouth. It's just,
all it has is like a bottom lip because he squished it to look like
an unrecognizable head.
Yeah, exactly. But I just thought that's honestly, I think the best, you know, shorthand or approximation of what this show is that kind of moment. Like as soon as it's a little bit sincere, we've also got the severed heads here. But I was so shocked by that and it worked so well. I just thought it was a huge standout for me.
I popped hard.
I get it. I get it, buddy. But we're really excited to visit the finale and talk about it with you folks. Tune in Wednesday for the full breakdown of episode 8 and a retrospective on the entire show, what we might expect from season 2, or at least our theories and opinions on it, right into the show at streamingthingspod@gmail.com. If you want to see somebody play the game and haven't played it before, make sure to check out X Oh My Gad X on Twitch. That's Jimmy's channel. That's G-A-D-D Gad.
Two D's for double dose. Dispimping.
That's right. Thank you guys for listening. We've got to go return some videotapes. My name is Kit.
Who knows?
I'm Steve.
And this was Streaming Things.
Who the fuck is Jimmy?
Streaming Fallout. Happy streaming.